Jazzy 88 WFSK, Eddie Bullen with this week, or one of the cuts from this week's feature, Kaleidoscope Avant-Garde. And it's my friend. Are you live at the Thunderdome Studios in Toronto, Eddie?
Yes, Sharon, I am live at Thunderdome, man, where we make hits.
Yes, y'all do. From the Thunderdome Studios in Toronto, Canada, he is award-winning producer, keyboardist, pianist, arranger, all-around great dad. the list goes on and on, because I see your son's name as a writer on the projects, and you kept him. You have kept him focused in the in the genre, Eddie. You're just the best. Okay.
Well, thank you. You know, you got to keep those offsprings close to you. You don't want them to stray into doing any kind of crazy nonsense.
Absolutely not. Eddie Bullen hasn't been with us on Artist of the Week in a few years, so it is truly good to hear from you, new project out, and I wondered, I'm like, what happened to dude? You know, sometimes if you don't see stuff and hear stuff, because some of the recording artists, I love them, but they crank out a song every year, and then some people don't, and so when I found out that you had the release for the Kaleidoscope project, I was like, yes. And because, Eddie, I know you're solid in this music genre and in what you do as a professional.
Yes. I mean, it's something that I've loved since I was, you know, like a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was totally into, you know, all the trailblazers before me, you know, like, you know, Bob James and the Crusaders and, mm-hmm. you know, everybody who contributed to the genre. And, you know, it was good to me, and I've never left it. And, you know, it's something that I think my timing is like every 3 to 4 years I'll put out a new offering.
So we get to check in. I know one time I noticed back in the roll call that we had talked to you and your son Quincy in 2009. So he was just a youngster.
Man.
Yeah, Quincy's a grown old man now.
Doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, he started as a keyboard player, and then now he's a guitar player, and he's singing, and he's playing bass, and everything.
That is awesome. And he's carrying on for the next generation, and that's what's up.
That's what it is, you know, Sherry. We can't close the door behind us. We have to make sure we open it and pull a couple of them through. And Quincy is not the only one. You know, through Thunderdome, I was able to, you know, sort of can give everybody a little bit of a portal to jump through and you know, just as a springboard.
Yeah. Well, as a musician and also, you know, a dad, that must be quite an honor for you to, you know, see that your kids care enough about your craft to want to take part in it as well.
Yes. Well, the thing is, when he was a young man, every musician sends their kids for piano lessons or guitar lessons or some kind of music lessons. And I remember I was doing a concert at the theater, and he was in the wings, and you know, he was just watching me. And impromptu, I just called him up, and I said, you know, I think he was like 3 or 4 years old, and he came up, and one of the songs that he knew was "Ode to Joy." So I had him sit on the piano, and he played "Ode to Joy," and the place went wild.
I'm certain.
And I think that switched the lights on for him. He was like, yo, I could do this.
He loved the adoring fans, man. The fans.
It'll do it to you every time, man.
Yeah. The fans of this music, you know, they are very special people, because they really make you guys do the very best that you can do. Eddie, you still looking good, son. Let me just tell you. You know, I'm like, he ain't aged a bit in all these years. Look at you.
I know, man. You know, it's the Canadian weather. You know, that cold preserves you.
It must. I mean, no cracks on you, Jack. And that's for real. You are a well-known for the Canadian contemporary jazz family. And I don't know about U.S.-wise, because when I first started, we had you on, I think the original time that this how far back we go with you was somewhere around 05, 06 was the first time we got introduced to your music, and I believe it was the Make It Real project, and then Desert Rain.
Right.
So was when we did the spotlight. So we've been going around the circle, around the room with you for some years now.
Yeah, and it's much appreciated from the North. Yeah. And,
well, and you know, for us, you know, because this is not a train driven by a conductor that is, you know, from a different perspective, I am happy that this is a place where music from artists such as you can be heard here and received and expose people who may not even be familiar. So since that's the case, and we do it every time, let's get your background. So it's somebody who'd be like, I've never heard of this cat. So you're going to learn some new stuff today. Eddie is a big deal in Canada and in the Caribbean. But for people that haven't gone on the cruises and haven't traveled and et cetera, they may not be familiar. Talk about your background and how you got started in all this.
Well, I was born in Grenada, a tiny Caribbean island with a population of 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. And my dad had a music store. He was a musician as well, too, and he recorded back in the day for Decca. That's when Harry Belafonte was doing all of that, all those calypso things. So he was one of the session musicians in Trinidad. He'd go travel to Trinidad and record. Mm-hmm. And so I, from the time I knew myself, I was surrounded with music and jazz music. So he loved it. He would play, Charlie Parker, every jazz musician, he'd have those records and he'd play them. Mm-hmm. So I used to just play them, and I worked in the music store I'm a piano tuner as well, too. So we ordered we had all the manufacturers. We ordered all the pianos, Yamaha, Kawai, Steinways, everything. So I was, as a kid, I was like 12, 13 years old. I was tuning pianos, just traveling around, the hotels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So subsequently, I left Grenada, immigrated to Canada, and I mean, my second week in Toronto, I was on the road. I was traveling as a musician and playing, and pretty much never stopped till then. But I contemporary jazz was a thing that I loved. It was an emerging market, and I loved, I listened to Dave Sanborn and Marcus Miller and, Earl Clue and all those guys, and just loved it. And So I gravitated to producing. I was on the road with several bands, then I started producing. I just said, listen, just let me produce your record. You don't have to pay me, just let me do it. So just to get the credits. And I started producing. And I mean, to date, I've produced over 200 albums in my studio. So, it has served me well, Sharon. And I'm still producing. I'm in a studio right now with an artist producing his record. Looking forward to his name is Michael Vincent, just doing his record. So contemporary jazz, smooth jazz, is a thing that I love. I listen to it. I love a lot of the musicians. I've produced, actually, last year I produced a record for a young man from my country, which is with Grenada. His name is Jeremy Hector, and his record is doing really well, still doing really well. It's over 1 million spins on Spotify, which is, like, absolutely amazing. So, I'm not doing a lot of records for myself, but you know, during the time, you know, the periods when I could get a chance to release my record, there are lots of records that come out.
Yeah. So you've been working, on a lot of other people, but not so much, you know, on your own behalf. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, like last year, I think I did about 12 albums. Wow. You know, so.
And you know what? Something else I did notice, too, about you is you do an awful lot of international travel and different Caribbean flavor, Latin flavor events around the world. So you have followers and fans global. That must feel pretty good.
That's lovely. I mean, you're talking about that. We just came back from a 16-city tour of China, where we traveled all, like, everywhere in China, and we played at beautiful theaters and, you know, introduced them to, you know, smooth jazz. And, you know, I mean, they were, like, between 15 and 2,000 seaters, and they were all packed and all loving it. So we're looking to do that again in the near future. So, you know.
So the Chinese like smooth jazz, huh?
Yeah, man. They love it. They came out and hang with us, and you know, and you know, the reports and the takeaway that we got from the promoter is that they really dig it.
Okay.
You know.
Well, that's cool. So they can listen online to WFSKFM.org, and we'll make them hip and with the quickness here. For sure. Now, Kaleidoscope, what your title is representing something? Is this a time frame? Is this how you see yourself in your career or where you're going? What's up with the title?
Well, it sort of encompasses sort of everything. You know, at a certain point in your career, and for example, my life, I look back, and it's a kaleidoscope of different genres that I've produced. I've produced, you know, reggae acts. I've produced calypso acts. R&B, pop. You know, so it's a kaleidoscope of stuff. And then with the record, if you listen to the record, it's a bit of a kaleidoscope. A lot of the melodies repeat, but they repeat every time they repeat. They're slightly different, so it's like a kaleidoscope of colors. You know, so that was the concept of it. And in terms of the musicians that I've had on the record, again, it's a kaleidoscope. Some older guys, as well as younger guys, and you know, up and coming guys. One of the guys on the record, but the drummer who played most of the songs on the record, his name is Lionel Lewis. Uh-huh. He's the drummer for Snarky Puppy.
Oh.
You know, and right, I produced a record for him. That's doing really well right now, and he just got off tour with Quincy Jones and our orchestra. You know what I mean? So the title Kaleidoscope is really I sort of look back at all the stuff that I've done, a bit of a look forward.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's different aspects of Eddie Bullen, all the different things that I've done over the years.
Yeah. Now, over the years of having you on, and it's been quite a few here, but we have certainly had spotlight on our artist of the week before, and that's Eddie Bullen. You did projects with other people like Kingsley. Was one of them, and the other one was Hidalgo. What's his first name?
Joaquin Hidalgo.
Yeah. So are you still, you know, doing projects with those guys, and what are they up to?
Yeah, I'm still doing projects with those guys. Kingsley is now actually he's teaching at one of the universities. Mm-hmm. Hidalgo does a safari that he goes back to Cuba. He's a percussionist, so he does a lot of teaching, and he does a safari, goes back to Cuba every year, and brings he charters a plane, and all these percussionists go back to Cuba and get tutored by the guys who created the rhythms, like the songo rhythm, all the Latin rhythms. So he does. That's one of the big things that he does now. We still play occasionally together, but we've all sort of done things that just are different. So, yeah, and I mean, I always look for new artists, you know what I mean? I just did a guy by the name of Bruce Skerritt, out of Antigua, and I just did another guy who by the name of Rico Anthony, who's, who's another drummer, and he's out of Antigua. So I have my roots in the Caribbean, and I always try to reach out to musicians who are, you know, like emerging and doing new records and stuff like that. So it's always, always, you know, looking for younger talent who I can help and, you know, even, you know, establish musicians who, you know, reach out to me to produce records and stuff like that.
So. Well, I do know that you've worked on projects for what, 20-something, 25 or so years?
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah, it's about 30 years, man. I've been producing. You know, I was producing when producing wasn't even fashionable. You know, everybody's a producer, though.
That's true.
Yeah, but they don't, back in the day, I mean, I was like the only guy who was investing in all, you know, taking all my money and buying gear and spending days and nights in the studio trying to figure out what to do.
Right. And you, you know, you were probably the only one that had your own studio. That's for
sure. It's, you know, it's great. It's wonderful. You know. Yeah, sure.
Now, Eddie, your who wrote the Kaleidoscope Project? And tell our audience who some of the folks are that are on there with you, because you know, I know you did a lion's share. Of it, but there's other people who were very important to the project too, right?
Yes. Well, most of the songs, primarily all the songs I wrote, most of the other people are musicians on the album. So my son Quincy Bullen played guitar. He's a piano player, but I mean, he actually saw a clip of Jimi Hendrix on YouTube and sort of just switched to start playing guitar. And I mean, he's become really, really good over the years. So he played guitar on a lot of the tracks. Another gentleman who's been playing with me for years, traveled around the world with me, is a bass player. Love him, Andrew Stewart. He's an amazing bass player, and he played on most of the songs on the CD. I have a young gentleman saxophone player. His name is Rob Christian. He's a saxophone player. A wonderful young musician who used to play with my son and still play occasionally with him. He's a guy who toured the world. Ettrick Lyons is another bass player that we sort of grew up together and cut our teeth together. I have Otis Williams, who actually was on tour with an opening act for can't remember, guy who was in NSYNC. Can't remember his name. So Lorna Lewis, again, who is the, you know, has become like one of the top, you know, three drummers in the world today. I was able to, he toured with me extensively. Now he's gone on to, you know, touring with Snarky Puppy. We have Aaron Spinks, who's another drummer. Amazing. Elmer Ferreira, who's a Cuban guitar player. And he has a new record out. Amazing guitar player.
Wow. Who's
like, yeah, just another young gentleman who used to play with my son. His name is Lucian Gray. And I think he won, or it was second in the West Montgomery guitar competition in the United States. So a young guitar player who's just, you know, making waves. And yeah, and I have there's a lady who sings with me occasionally. Her name is Michelle White, and she did a couple of scats on the record. So anyway, that's pretty much, you know, my lineup that I have.
I wonder who that was that was on there. You know, trying to sound like a touch of Earth, Wind and Fire. That's who that was. Sound good?
That was me singing all of that, those syllables and stuff like that. That's me. That was me, Sharon.
Oh my God! So, Eddie, clearly you are multi-talented for sure, and people in that region gravitate to your sound and, you know, attend? Because don't you have like a cruise or a festival or something every year?
Yeah, I do what it's called the Eddie Bullen Smooth Jazz Cruise. And every year we do it the second week in August. And, oh, yeah, man, it's crazy. I have several guests on. And yeah, we cruise the harbor in Toronto. And it's a great time. Great time. I mean, you know, the photo, there's lots of photographs and some YouTube links of our, you know, fun and frolicking on that cruise.
Yeah.
So yeah, and people look forward. People travel from all over, you know, the area. You know, you get people from Rochester, from Buffalo, coming up for that cruise. So
yeah.
I look forward to it.
So your sound, can you describe it? Because you feel contemporary jazz in a different way, because you put in a lot of Caribbean influences and other, as well as some soul influences. How do you describe the Eddie Bullen sound?
Well, I think for that, I mean, I try to create compositions that say something, and I try to make sure that those compositions have a theme through the record. Every record that I've done, I try to make sure that it has a theme. I think it's across between sometimes some of the fusion stuff that we used to listen to, which sort of morphed into, smooth jazz, because and that's kind of where my sound is. It's right in between there. Like, for example, Ramsey Lewis and Earth, Wind & Fire were very big influences on me. And so you could hear that in some of the tracks that, you know, I'll always reach back to that, because I thought that those were the foundations of what we consider now smooth jazz, you know. So, but those guys started, for example, you listen to Narada Michael Walden. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to his CD, and again, it'll start with, you know, some contemporary stuff, and it'll go into some fusion stuff. So I try to kind of still do that with my records, you know. So it'll take you on a journey through, I think, my sort of appreciation of the genre. So I try to give you a little piece of everything. So
yeah,
and also have some kind of Caribbean Latin roots in it, because I think the Caribbean was a very instrumental in the cross border or the exporting of Caribbean music. You know, reggae, calypso, Latin all have, you know. I mean, you look at Dancing with the Stars, and you see them doing the cha 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 and the rumba, and it's all Caribbean stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Well,
and knowing that that's the case, when how much stuff do you do professionally with U.S.-based artists, and how many times are you in the States to, you know, be a part of events, jazz-related events here?
With regards to the artists, I worked with a gentleman by the name of Bill Sharp, mm-hmm. Rubber Hand Man. He plays with Dave Cars. He plays with Jeffrey Osborne. And I did a record with him which featured Najee on it, and it's mm-hmm. called Bass in Your Face.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was out on Capitol Records. So that I did. I actually just did a single with Sherry Winston,
mm-hmm.
who is a flautist,
mm-hmm.
Right? So she just did it. So I occasionally get a chance to work with American artists. With regards to playing in the States, I haven't done a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was there a lot. We do more private events. Like I was in San Francisco last year, where we did a private concert for actually, it was for the owners of the Warriors. So so a lot of those things that we do.
Yeah. Well, how was that work for you in terms of getting airplay and getting recognition, because, you know, you're known globally and around Canada and have a global impact and audience. But how does that work as far as getting airplay in the U.S.? I know having a relationship with us has been good for all the years that we have been playing your music. But how does it? How does that work? Because I do know that you have a, you know, you have management and record promoters, etc., that are U.S. based. Is that right. Is that working for you?
Yeah, I've always, most of my records, I've always used a U.S. based record promoter or some kind of facilitator. Like, for example, the last record that I did, which was Spice Island, that peaked at number 5 on Billboard. And that's primarily because of, you know, like the U.S. has way more radio stations than Canada does. So, and for the type of music that I'm doing, it's really geared to, you know, U.S. and Europe, and, you know what I mean? And some parts of Canada as well, too. So, yeah, I always use a promoter. This I'm using you know, a new gentleman that I met, Neil Sapper, who's I've become amazing friends, and I love him. So he's been taking care of Eddie.
Well, you know, when I told Neil, because we talk every Friday, 50 weeks a year, him and all the rest of them call me. I said, now, you know me and Eddie, we go way back. You know Eddie? I said, honey, who don't I know? I said, Eddie has gotten much love from this radio station. He was so amazed. He had no idea that I was even familiar with you because, you know, we were a renegade station because we had to be.
Right.
You know that because that's how we met over the phone. You know, because you were reaching out and... You know, a lot of places wouldn't, because smooth jazz was so pure. It was bleached, white, and nobody could get any airplay. So when you started, you know, dealing with me then and sending me music, that was back in the golden oldies. And you couldn't, you know, get a breakthrough and stuff. I was like, I don't care what they're doing. We're just going to do what we do here and keep it real. So, you know, lo and behold, all these years later, we're still friends.
You know, I look forward to sometimes checking out your program online, you know what I mean? Or I see, you know, some kind of social media post, and I'm like, there she is, man, keeping that black flame flying high.
This is how we do it, baby. And we put your photo, I think your photo was on our social media, the Artist of the Week. There's an Artist of the Week. The station has Artist of the Week Facebook page. But Eddie, we got you now. And we're happy to have this, have had this time with you, and of course to feature the Kaleidoscope Project. And we want to remind the audience that it's available at several places, but where should they go to pick it up, Eddie? Are you going to do just downloads only, or is there going to be actually physical copies made?
There's physical copies made, and CD Baby is handling most of those, you know, mailouts for physical copies if you want to just purchase your own.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to go on your website or is thinking about the your cruise and all, and is interested, are you, you got your plans laid for 2020?
Yeah, it's not up on the website yet, but it is 2020. I think it's on the 14th that cruise is going to be on.
Okay.
For August 14th.
Okay, so that's on your website, right?
Yeah.
Now, one of these years, you're going to look up, and I'm a call you. I'm going to say, this your girl from Nashville.
I would love it.
I know you would be like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, man.
You just never know. You never know.
Eddie, no.
I appreciate you, and I want you to give my love to the sons, especially the one, Quincy, that we had interviews with. I haven't talked to Trey Michael yet, And maybe one day we'll get y'all back as a trio. But give him my love and tell him, you know, thank you for keeping the genre going. And for people to find out more about you, best thing to do is eddiebullen.com.
Yep.
Excellent. Eddie, thank you so much. Love always from Nashville. Yeah,
right back at you, man. Love you, and I wish you all the best for 2020.
Thank you so much. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.